We want to recognize our new couple, Pastor Josh and Karen. Are you guys sitting together or are you separated here? Okay, why don't you guys stand up? Yeah. It was a great wedding. Loved everything. But when the music came really loud, it meant go home for me. I'm not much of a dancer other than by myself. Or jumping up and down. So, but it was a blessing. Let me just pray for, them as well as this message, and then we'll move on to the sermon. Lord, we pray a blessing upon Josh and Karen again as they attend their first Sunday service. Pour out your grace, mercy, power upon them. And as they are a gospel team for your glory, may they continue to feed themselves with Christ. God, we pray that today you will speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going on a topic of refocus, and today I'm actually going to talk about refocusing on the spiritual reality. I realize actually I need to do a whole series on the church itself, so I'm going to focus on refocusing on the spiritual reality. 2 weeks ago I talked about refocusing on the servant heart of Jesus, and that's how we need to do leadership. That's how we need to do church. Last week I talked about refocusing on what the church is supposed to be, and I shared with you that we are a church. We're supposed to gather together as prisoners of Christ, and that's the way we escape from the other prisons of sin and wrong habits and idols. And when we become prisoners of Christ in his love, in his grace, in his redemption, we become free. And I talked to you about this idea that we need in the church more humility, people who are humble, so that we can see one another. I think only humble people see God and see the needs of one another. I talked about how, you know, all across we need more patient as God is with us. We need to be patient with one another and with even ourselves and even with God. And I talked to you about how we need to bear one another in love. And one of the love that is displayed is love of forgiveness. If we really want to establish a strong church, we really need to have a culture of forgiveness, because we will hurt one another. We will disappoint one another, and we need to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Today I want to talk to you about spiritual reality. This year we're really trying to help people to do their devotional, and we're really making a strong effort for you to use what we call the AMI, Acts Ministry International Quiet Time material. And most of us all have a smartphone, amen? If you have a flip phone, you're amazing, all right? But most of us have a smartphone. We have apps. There is an AMI app that you could download through our website. And in it, they have a quiet time that we've kind of used and suggested. But this year, we're going to try to really kind of push it and try to get our church all doing it. You might actually do a Bible study on one of the AMI quiet times to just kind of get us there. And if you ever done it, it actually has three components. It has a morning and afternoon, and then a night prayer. And I don't know how, if you've used it, how you use it. But in the morning, when I wake up and I read it, and I'm going to just be honest with you, when I read it, if the article is good, I read it very carefully. If the article is okay, I read it very respectfully. But I do focus on the verses, and it actually gives you a chapter of that day, too. And so I read it, and I usually, most of the time, I go through the whole thing in one shot. I have done it in the morning, and 10 minutes in the afternoon and at night. But most of the time I go through it in one shot. And I focus on the passage and ask God to use that quiet time material to speak into my life. There's other things I read throughout the week, but trying to put this into daily practice. Well, you know, on one of these days, as I was, you know, we've been, as a staff, I've been telling them to really start doing it more focused since July, because we're going to be doing focusing on it into the new semester. So in August 24th, as I was reading whoever wrote it, there's just one passage. I don't even know really what this person wrote about. I think it was about forgiveness. But on August 24th or August 23rd on lunchtime, this person wrote on this passage. And, you know, I really felt like this was a passage that I needed to hear that day. And it's a passage that I feel like I would like you to just hear and understand this idea of spiritual reality. It's such a familiar passage. I've spoken on it hundreds of times. But let's review and refocus what is supposed to be the reality of our life. And on, again, August 23rd, lunchtime, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and it says, Paul writes, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." All right. Throughout the book of Ephesians, as he closes off in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul introduces a biblical reality. And this verse is a famous passage that we should have in our memory, that Paul launches off into seeing the unseen. And he says, our life here is not just about flesh and blood, what we hear, what we smell, what we sit on, but there is a spiritual reality that is as real as these poles that are in the middle of our sanctuary, as the seats that you are sitting on. And Paul is trying to stir the Ephesian church after he's given a really great dosage of theology and, you know, what the church is supposed to be. He says, church, do you know that you live in this spiritual reality, and we need to awaken ourselves in that reality, or else we're going to easily fall asleep. You know, I don't know what kind of reality you live in today, but I'm going to tell you, it's easy to forget this simple passage that our life is not just flesh and blood, but it's against the principality. There's a spiritual realm, and there's a battle of spirit that is happening. Here's some realities that I live in lately. One is an academic reality. I cannot believe it. I've talked about it over and over again, but I've been taking this doctorate of ministry class and started in January, and I had to write some papers. I went into a panic attack, okay? I know I write sermons, but none of my sermon has to be grammatically correct, right? And nobody ever proofreads my sermons, all right? So it's like I got like dots and, you know, like it's all incorrect, spell checked and all this stuff. But I had to write an official paper, and I was in a panic attack, and I literally was freaking out until I found out that I have a good editor, my daughter, amen. And she's very nice to me too. You know, somehow she's able to take my thoughts and make me look smarter, but still sound like me. Okay, that's a good editor. Okay, if I gave it to my wife, who also would be a good editor, she would take my thoughts and she would rearrange it and it would sound like her. Okay, she's a good editor, but not for me. Amen. All right. So I'm like, oh, right, that academic reality was okay. I kind of survived it. And then, you know, lately I've been, you know, really experiencing a physical reality. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, but been having some real bad lower back pain and some knee pain. All right. And I'm like, what is going on? Because I've done a lot of stuff so that my back is better, you know, because, you know, this is soccer season. I want to be ready for it. And my knee is better, you know, and I want to be ready for it. And lately, if you get old, when you start having physical problem, it's a reality, okay? You think that other things are reality until you have a physical problem and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the reality of my life. I have a headache. That's your reality. You guys know what I'm talking about? So I had a backache. I was, what is going on? And basically what I realized was, you know, I've been gardening. I'm going to talk to you about my gardening reality. This summer, this fall, or this spring into summer, I've gotten into gardening, growing some tomatoes, zucchinis, peppers, eggplant, and jalapeno peppers. Anyway, I'm sure you want to know all this. And what happened is, as I'm gardening, I'm not thinking. I'm just going down like this and pulling out weeds. And I'm old now, so as I'm doing this, I'm not, you know, you're not lifting stuff. So I just go down and do it. And I realize the way I've been gardening hurt my lower back. You know, and then when I start going down, I squat all the way down, like, you know, the Asian squat. And my knees are killing me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I got to be careful with this physical reality. I also have what I call practical reality. My kids are all grown up. They're no longer cute. They're handsome. They're beautiful. But they're not cute. I liked them when they were cute. All right. And they have real problems. You know, before it's like, it was kid problems. You know, like, But now it's like they got to figure their life out. And it's a practical problem. Practical, you know, reality. I have to, you know, go and exchange, you know, my propane gas. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want to do that because I'm so busy. I have to fix the brakes of my car. And all these practical realities slowly starts coming in my life. I have to write forms for my parents for Social Security. And I hate forms. I'm one of those guys, when you write a form, there's always an extra space. And I'm like, how did that happen? You know, why is there a space here? I don't know how. And forms freak me out, okay? And all these reality, and when you start living in physical reality, when you start living in academic reality, when you start living in practical reality, do you really think about spiritual reality? Do you really think what the Bible says, that there is a spiritual reality that's as real as fixing your car brake, as the pain that is in your body? See, Paul tries to introduce that, and he says, listen, our struggle is not just against flesh and blood. Our struggle and our reality, there is a principality. There is another world that seems unseen, unheard. But those of us, if you are in Jesus Christ, needs to see it, needs to hear it, needs to feel it. And Paul says, welcome into this spiritual reality. And I just want to kind of bring us back to that focus. Because if we don't understand this, all the other reality is going to take you down the stream, and you're going to forget that there is a reality that is all intertwined, and this reality of the spiritual world is the key component in your life, right? Paul, through this passage, is saying, listen, there is a spiritual battle for your spiritual life. Do you feel that? Do you feel your spiritual life? Do you feel you growing in Christ, loving Christ, your heart sensitive to the Word of God, you desiring to pray, and you can experience in prayer that you're drawing close to God? Do you feel the tension of your spiritual growth? Or has it just become a religious activity? Or there is no tension in your life? I want to tell you, growing spiritually doesn't happen accidentally. All right? It doesn't happen accidentally. Of course, in the end, the growth of our personal spiritual life is a God thing. Only God can make and illuminate the Bible to be real, and we stop being hearers of God's word and become doers. Only God can transform our character. But it doesn't happen in a vacuum. We need to prepare. We need, as Paul said, to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. God does the work, but we have our responsibility. And many times, so many realities takes us down the stream that I wonder if we spend time or feel the tension, you know, that am I growing? Am I open to the Spirit? Is the Word of God speaking to me? Can I ask you, do you ask this regularly in your life? Do you prepare spiritually in a daily or a weekly basis? Or does it just go by and it just becomes a religious activity? Well, you know, I was going to just share with you that I realized as I've been gardening that there's stuff that I needed to know about gardening, right? That I didn't know that I need to prepare, right? See, before, Pastor Kurt used to garden at my house. You know, he said, can I garden at your house? I said, all right. You know, Pastor Kurt is one of our site pastor, and him and his wife came to my house, and they grew a tomato, and they grew some, you know, potato. I don't know. They grew other stuff like that. And I used to just pick it, and it just used to grow. And I'm like, oh, I just picked this thing. And sometimes, like, you know, it grew a lot. I just left it there, and it died. And I didn't really think there was weed everywhere. I didn't think about it, but they no longer garden at my house. And they're very busy. So I decided I'm going to garden. You know what? It takes a lot of preparation to produce the fruit. Do you guys, I mean, some of you know this, so don't raise your hand. Do you guys know what a sucker is? If you know it, don't raise your hand. What it is that in tomatoes, there's this, you know, it grows like this, right? Two branches. But sometimes the one grows in the middle, like a third, like that. You have to cut those off so that these guys produce better fruit. I didn't know what that was. When I heard that you need to, I remember on YouTube, you need to take the sucker off. I'm like, you're using a bad word, you know, and you need to prune that thing, right? Do you know, like, when you think about a fertilizer, what 5-1-1-10-5-5 means? If you know, you don't have to say. Do you know that you actually have to fertilize your soil? thought you're just supposed to dig in and stick it in there, and it grows, right? But I realized 5-1-1 means it's a combination of the ratio of nitrogen, phosphate, and potassium. I didn't know that plants needed that to grow. I thought they just needed dirt, right? Did you know that you can use Epsom salt, right? I thought Epsom salt, the last time I used it was when I was, you know, a soccer injury, swollen knee or something, and you just soaked that in there. I don't know what it did, but you're supposed to soak it in warm water. You know, it's salt. But actually, Epsom salt, done right, helps the plant to be able to do photosynthesis more in a more healthy way. It gives a greener leaf, and it makes your green pepper plant taste better, right? Didn't know that, did you? Right. Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, you need preparation to get a tomato out, right? You need to work hard to get zucchinis out, right? I mean, oh my, you need to prepare to have a spiritual life. If you're not reading the Word, you don't have a regular digestion of God's Word and prayer in your life, you're not going to grow. You don't just stick yourself in this world with so many realities hitting you, and you yourself don't understand that you need to prepare and be ready. You need to check your heart. When's the last time as you read the Bible and you felt like, this is just mechanical, what's going on in my heart? Maybe I need to get good sleep and do a better moment when I could read the Bible. There's a spiritual battle and spiritual life, and it's a reality that you have to prepare for. Paul goes on in this text. He says, in this spiritual battle, there is an enemy. There is a battle. There's something against you, right? So again, we've talked about this so many times. It's not natural. There is actually an opposition, and a lot of it is unseen, unheard, and we just let it go by, and our spiritual life is actually getting destroyed by what the Word of God calls the enemy, who actually takes the Word away from our heart. Can I just ask you, you know, in the parable of the sower, the Bible says, some of us have a heart that's like a path. And when the Word of God is preached, before it even lands, Satan comes and takes the Word. Can I ask you, before you come to church, do you ever pray 5 minutes, 10 minutes on your drive? I know we pray, Lord, let our family not get into a fight. Lord, may we get there right on time or something. But do we ever pray and ask God, Lord, soften my heart? So when the Word of God is preached, good, bad, ugly, amen, boring, too simple, not funny enough, whatever, Lord, let the Word of God be planted so that the enemy will not take it. I don't want to super spiritualize this, but as Paul writes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Right now, in this room, as the simple biblical thought is being thrown at you and preached at you and discussed in front of you, there is a spiritual battle that is going on right now in your heart. Is this going to be the reality that you can walk in? Or is it just going to be another Sunday school thought that you're going to forget once you leave this place? Do you see that there is actually a battle and even an enemy that's going to slowly try to take this away from you? You know, it's interesting. When you do gardening, I didn't know there were so many enemies in the garden. All right? First of all, there's some enemies you kind of know. Squirrels. They are my enemies right now, okay? First of all, I'm sorry for you animal lovers who love squirrels, feeding them. You think they're cute. I'm sorry, but to me, squirrels are like kind of family of rats with a long tail, all right? Okay, and I didn't know squirrels like tomatoes. I haven't eaten one red tomato because these squirrels are eating all my tomatoes, all right? They're driving me crazy, but they're at least ones you could kind of see. You don't see them. Actually, I never saw them eat my tomato other than the evidence that they ate my tomato. Okay, there's a chunk missing, you know, and I guess my tomatoes are good because they ate all of them. All right, the first harvest, I didn't get any of them. But there are unseen ones, right? I had these zucchini plants, and they were like growing like weed. I came back from, you know, some missions trip. It was getting big. I had a zucchini out there. I'm like, oh, man, I'm an awesome farmer. You know, wow, I know how to fertilize. I know how to prune. I'm an awesome farmer. Right before I went on a retreat, all my zucchini plants that were like just blossoming like crazy started to die. I was like, what is going on? What is going on? And then, I YouTubed it. And I found out there's these things called squash vine borers or something. These little maggots that go into the root and they start boring through. And it's just disgusting. You can actually do surgery and plug it out. They're this big. Right? Yeah. And they eat your squash plant. I hate them now. All right. And I was actually emailing my daughter, like, take a razor blade and cut through the root area. You may see this buck. And she said, no. I'm not going to look for an invisible enemy. But not just that. Did you know that you can have fungi and the PhD on your PhD borers, all right? pH of your soil could be wrong. That can kill your plant. And there is spiritual battle that is unseen, Paul says. Some of you, you do not have any spiritual discipline. I don't mean to say this in a rebuke, but it is a rebuke. You have a lot of other discipline, like discipline of looking at your phone. That's very easy, isn't it? I do that a lot too. Discipline of watching your favorite episode of whatever. Discipline of exercise. All that is not all that is good. Some of them is bad. Exercise is good, amen? But how about the spiritual discipline to fight the spiritual battle? I think all of us could elevate that a little more. And we need to ask God that we can see some of these invisible things that is robbing our spiritual time. All right, and I'm going to tell you, when you spend a lot of time on something else, this is very profound. When you spend a lot of time on something else, it takes away from something else. Right? We have 24 hours, and if we spend a lot of time on something, it takes away from something. Wow. You learned that at church. What is taking away your time from Jesus? Maybe we need to reorient and say, you know what? Instead of prioritizing exercise, instead of prioritizing vegging time, instead of prioritizing this, or even our studies, which is all these are important. I mean, I think it's good to veg once in a while. Amen? It's okay to watch Korean drama. But how about prioritizing the spiritual discipline of seeking God and then building other things on top of that to fight against these enemies that seem so invisible? Paul says it's not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. Lastly, Paul's writing this to the Ephesian church, and he's saying to the church, we need to fight together. We need to awaken one another to the spiritual battle. We need to awaken one another to the spiritual weapons. You know, one of the things that I've been quoting to myself a lot, because the spiritual battle, this invisible battle, is won, the scripture says, not by human weapons, but weapons of the Spirit. And definitely one of it is the Word of God. And I've been really trying more than ever before to memorize scripture, you know, and to meditate on it and to think through it. And one of the verses that I've been thinking and meditating a lot is on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, Paul, after he writes a whole, you know, talk on love. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And, you know, this is a verse that I've been saying it and applying it into some of my strongholds in my life, because I realized that I act like a child with my anger, with lust, with responding to criticism. I have long ways to grow up and to be the man that I am. And it's funny because I've been quoting this to myself, and it's helped me so much in this stronghold, because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to live like a child. I want the love of God to grow me to be a real man of God. Are you with me here? Right? It's funny because, you know, when in my family, sometimes when they critique me of something, I find myself in this stage where I'm like just processing it in such a childish way. And I've done that so many times that I just go right there and I have to sit down and say, I don't want to think like a child. I don't want to be like a child. God, I want your love to make me a man of God. These are the spiritual weapons. Lastly, as I've been trying to say, that we need to remind ourselves there is a spiritual. We gather here together to refocus that we live and breathe and must grow in a spiritual world. We're supposed to be the army of God, band of brothers and sisters, family of God, to remind ourselves, let's wake up. We need to work on our spiritual life. We have an enemy, and we need to keep fighting this good fight for Jesus Christ. But so many other realities could take you in so many different directions. I was just thinking, we just had our wedding of Josh and Karen, I was just thinking about my wedding 25 years ago, and you know, I think I was either going to be ordained or I was a pastor of a congregation, and we had, like, it was crazy, the whole wedding reality. Me and Annette had, both of us had settled in Philadelphia, but our wedding was in Chicago, so we had to go there to do our wedding in Chicago. The way we did our wedding, you know, a lot of people, they have different theories of weddings. You know, for us, it was like our family affair. So we had like 550 people at our wedding. Okay, I think ours was one of the bigger weddings, until another friend of mine had 850 people. I'm like, you're going to be bankrupt, man. But anyway, you know, and then that meant it was, you know, you can't do a real fancy wedding with 550 people, right? And, you know, just so much craziness going on. I remember right before, you know, the day of the wedding, you know, Annette, she never put on makeup before. And then they put on makeup, and it was like this, like, they put too much. And so she was crying, and then I think one of the aunts had to put the thing on, and I saw her, and, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And then finally, it all happened, right? And we got married. I'm married. Amen. Supposedly, there's a wedding video that where, you know, we were lighting the unity candle, and I dropped the candle. Right? I almost set the whole stage on fire. Okay? I don't remember this, but my kids reminded me again. And all this stuff. And, you know, it's the wedding reality. And the thing about it was, I had so many pastors come to my wedding. And basically, you know, back then, there was no dance music, you know, and all that. It was just like, my wedding was a whole prayer meeting. It was just like, kept praying. We just kept praying and praying and praying. But it was a wedding reality. And what happened was, we're going to go into honeymoon. And we went to the honeymoon reality, and we're going. And I don't know why I thought of this. I didn't know this, but at weddings, you know, people give money. I didn't know. I'm like, oh, wow, people gave money. All right, they gave presents, but they gave money. The adults gave money. My friends who were, you know, still like right out of college, they gave me something, okay? So then all these $10 bills, $5 bills, and all this stuff. And anyway, but there was still like $800 of $10 bills. We're going to Hawaii for our honeymoon, and there were $800, and I put it in this envelope. I'm going to Hawaii. That's America. Do you guys know that? Right? But for some reason, I've never been to Hawaii. I thought it was an island vacation, so I'm like, oh, maybe we need cash. No, you just need credit card. But I had cash, so I took this $800 and put it in my the bag that you ship. Don't ever do that, okay? And then I thought that it was safe because I put it under my private clothing, underwears, or I put it under there, right? I go, no one will touch that, all right? Well, we get to Hawaii, and guess what happens, right? My bag is missing. Yeah, I know. And then we finally get it, and guess what? Everything is there but the $800. That's how we started our honeymoon. How would you feel? Well, it was not nice. It was not a good moment. We're like, and you know, it's kind of like, I don't know why you put that there, all right? We're in America. We just use credit card, all right? Why did you do that? And so I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm being attacked, you know, and all this stuff, you know, and I'm like trying to figure out what to do. And I would say the first night between the wedding reality, even though there were a lot of pastor, and the honeymoon reality, I don't know if we really thought about God. Until the next morning, when my better half said, we're starting this morning with time alone with God. I think God stole that $800. God stole, right? God took that $800 to say, wake up, all right? This is spiritual reality. And I thank God for a partner that reminds me that there is a spiritual reality in every process of our life. Raising your children is spiritual. Your school and your academic pursuit is spiritual. Your career is spiritual. We need to bring Christ there because he's already there. Amen? Let's pray.